The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, welcome into a numbers game on this Friday morning, February 14th. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirala, taking you into your weekend. And Kelly, it's February 14th. You know what that means, my man.
What's that?
Happy Valentine's Day, brother.
Oh, I thought it was because the NBA went on break today. No? Oh, okay. No, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there's no sports, so we are stuck trying to, you know, find someone to go on a date with.
Little pink and red. There we go.
I like it. Feeling festive. And shout out to our guy Darnell, huh? How about that? Walked in here, thought he was going for a fist bump, and then I'm like, the hell's in his hand? He's got chocolate for us on Valentine's Day. What a guy.
Maybe he secretly meant to smash the chocolate into your hand so you would just struggle all show with it.
Right, so I looked like Jimmy Butler last night?
Yeah, that's right.
Just give a little slap ass with the chocolate in his hand, and then you look like Jimmy Butler, who, by the way, there is no question he crapped himself during that game. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
That's indisputable, what happened to Jimmy Butler last night on the court. There is no doubt about that. That was like Paul Pierce some years back.
Hey, as long as you keep winning, who cares, right?
That's true. How about the line movement in that game? Whew. Let's start there. I mean, because when we were on air, it was Houston laying 6.5. It opened Golden State, was it Houston by a point? And then it closed Golden State 1.5?
Yeah, I guess that's what I caught this morning because I was writing something up for us of dog sweep the board. And then I was like, wait, what? And I'm looking over at a couple sites. I'm like, wow, it went all the way to Golden State 1 before we tipped off. And yeah, that's what we had.
1.5.
Yeah, here over at VSiN.com, 1.5, all the way to Golden State 1.5. So yeah, that was a bad read by some of the bettors and bookmakers. I mean, I brought up yesterday on the show, and I thought I was completely in lockstep with them. I was like, I think Steph probably sits. I think Jimmy Butler sits. And
right.
Tip to the cap to the Rockets and Warriors. They know where they're at in the Western Conference and need to pick up every one of these wins that they can to improve themselves in the standing, and especially going up against each other. Never know how that's going to work out when the playoff seeding comes down.
I'll tell you what, yesterday was such a weird day in the NBA because we talked about it on the show and, you know, we had Zach Cohen on and we doubled down on it when Zach came on. The injury reports were so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And you look at a game like Golden State Houston where we were certain Steph and Jimmy were probably going to be out because of the 5.5-point line movement towards the Rockets. And then, of course, you know, that gets that comes back with 8-point movement towards Golden State. Absolutely obscene line movement there. You look at the Miami-Dallas game. And you were talking about playing Bam props, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, Bam doesn't play.
Yep.
And, you know, who else was out for Miami? Terry Wiggins. They had that stomach illness. Bam, I don't think, was the stomach bug. I think he was a left knee contusion.
Yeah,
it said.
I don't. At least the night before, he wasn't listed with the illness stuff. So
well,
yeah,
he was fantastic the night before.
You want to say kudos to the Mavericks, but we do kind of know that Miami was dealing with this stuff. But man, the Mavs keep picking up wins too. I can't knock this stuff, man. They've looked pretty way better than I was expecting.
30-26. I thought they would have folded by now. By the way, unrecognizable lineup for the Dallas Mavericks. My goodness, no Kyrie, obviously no Anthony Davis, no PJ Washington, no Lively, obviously. Klay Thompson didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this starting five. It really is like unrecognizable. The fact that they just that these guys put up 118 on Miami and won a basketball game. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. So this is what 3-1 since the I'm sorry. That was 5 games ago. So Mavericks are 4-2 since the Luka trade, and one was an OT loss. Another one was another 2-point loss. That's pretty good.
They're hanging around.
And the news on Daniel Gafford this morning, he will sit out at least 6 weeks because of a grade 3 strain of the MCL in his right knee. That coming from ESPN. So things only getting worse for that front court in Dallas.
Yeah, they are really depleted down there. But hey, as long as they keep winning games and they keep going out there and stringing things together, some unlikely heroes. I mean, Maxwell Prosper, it's not like he had a wild game, but, you know, gets a start. This is a guy who usually sees just a few minutes, averages under 4 points per game, and he goes out there, gives them double digits in a starting effort. Minnesota, Oklahoma City, that one surprise you?
Yeah. I mean, really, yeah, brought it up yesterday on the show, right? If we're gonna complain about the bad beats all the time, recognize when you get lucky. The OKC win I had covering 2 nights ago was way worse. I had no reason getting that one home. Man, I thought my over was looking good in that game, though, and then we roll into the fourth quarter, Joe, and 34 combined points from the two teams.
Yeah, come on, they just mailed it in.
just goes under. But yeah, that's that was a good win for Minnesota. This is another game, like the Warriors we talk about, Warriors in Houston have just kind of given it, you know, people expecting before the All-Star break, maybe you slow down, mail it in a little bit. Both these teams, I mean, they threw everybody out there. This is a full strength type of game, and both these teams battling, and Minnesota coming out on top.
I will say that fourth quarter, though, that was about as big of a pre-All-Star break fourth quarter as you could ask for. Because yes, they looked like they both mailed it in by the fourth quarter. 34 combined points, like you mentioned. Clippers get home in overtime. They don't cover, but they beat Utah 120-116. How about the Pelicans beating Sacramento 140-133? I know the Kings were a popular play yesterday. Pelicans, they mailed it in. They sent Ingram to Toronto, 13-42, one of the worst records in the league, but they pull it out in OT.
Yeah, this is this Pelicans team has just been one of the most fascinating teams to be in the league for the past few years, because I'm a Zion fan, but the injuries are undeniable. But man, they still got some great young talent. Herb Jones is going to miss the rest of the year, it sounds like, but getting him back next year will be huge. Trey Murphy with another year of development. It's a fun young team. It's just interesting to see what they do with all these pieces. And Ingram, they had to move. They had to move one of these guys just because of what their salary cap was ended up looking like. They're going to have to pay. They got some big payments coming up from some of their younger stars. But Pelicans, man, I know it's a bad season, but it's a bright future ahead, in my opinion.
In college hoops, both ranked road favorites covered. Memphis went to USF, made a statement early, going up 15 at the half. They end up winning by 15, covering 7.5. Maryland goes to Nebraska, 1.5-point dogs in that one. So excuse me, I said road favorites. They're the ranked team, but they were the underdog in that one. So Nebraska would have been your system play if you're all about taking the unranked home favorite against a ranked road opponent. Maryland says not this time. And that system, Kelly's actually not been working lately. I've noticed it was hot and heavy to start the season, and then lately the higher ranked road teams have been coming out there winning.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's something to always be aware of, but you still got to pick and choose spots, right? Any of these kind of systems and trends we talk about, it doesn't mean fire blindly on any of them.
And this Maryland team, metric wise you know, I know that they're ranked 25th, they're not the sexiest team, but they do have similar metrics to teams like Michigan, teams like Arizona, teams like Marquette, who are all, I think, much more highly regarded. Maybe not Michigan, maybe they're about neck and neck. But Marquette, Arizona, much more highly regarded than Maryland. This is a team I'd start to look for. Big Ten tournament, maybe March Madness. They could make some noise.
I'm trying to pull up what they are in the outright market right now.
Maryland?
Yeah, because I heard someone 65-1 to win the NCAA tournament. I heard Drew Dinsick on the Deep Dive podcast just yesterday bring up that he recently got in on a ticket for them to win the tournament just because he thinks that there are some flaws at the top. These are very beatable teams at the top.
You know, look, I would say right now it's Duke, Alabama, Auburn, and then it's a wide open field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not hard. You know, someone might look at that and say, well, you just gave three teams that seem like a sure thing, so it's got to be one of them. It's not hard for each of those teams to just have one-off performance get knocked off, and then it becomes wide open, you know? Yep. So I don't think there's a sure thing like UConn in recent years. Duke, Auburn, Bama, they are, I feel like, head and shoulders above the rest. They are in their own tier. But, I mean, if Alabama has a game where they get cold from beyond the arc, boom, they're exposed,
right,
you know?
Right.
So as far as the next tier, it is pretty wide open. And if you're going to take a team maybe like an Iowa State or like an Arizona, at that point, why not go for a Maryland or a Clemson and get way better odds? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we talked about Clemson yesterday with John Henson. I think they're a team in the outright market. I don't know if you have their number in front of you. I think Clemson is very live.
80-1.
Wow, longer shot than Maryland, huh?
Yep.
I love it. You should talk about them on your golf podcast. That's a long shot for you, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of the golf, what was your takeaway from the Genesis yesterday?
Oh, man, what a disaster. Hey, as I saw a couple of these tweets going around, but it was fair. The Genesis Invitational turned into a U.S. Open all of a sudden because the conditions were absolutely gross. We were worried about yesterday, but, man, the rain basically throughout the entire round, off and on, winds were gusting up to 25, 30 miles an hour. It was very evident, at least early in the day. I was watching a bunch right after we got done with the show. It was evident that greens were really tough for these guys to figure out with the wind, with the rain soaking these POA greens, and then the wind blowing as much as it was. There were some missed putts as bad as I've seen in a while. So really looking forward to today's action. Conditions are expected to be a little bit calmer, so we shouldn't have as much chaos out there on the court, Joe. But, man, you still had – it's tough when you know you're battling in tough conditions and then you still see Scotty Scheffler just starting to cruise. I think there's Denny McCarthy. This is going to happen every once in a while. Denny McCarthy's your leader right now, 4 under par. Then you got Seamus Power, Patrick Rogers, 3 under par. Denny McCarthy, one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. Putter got hot yesterday. Sometimes he's just going to be able to. It's hard for him to win tournaments. It's hard for him to do that over 4 rounds consecutively, Joe. But for one round, he's always a good first round leader. Look, I think because of stuff like this, gained over 4 strokes on the field with the putter. So that was massive. Scottie Scheffler's only 2 shots off. Listen to him on his post round interview. Man, for us that have been betting golf and Scottie Scheffler getting in the way so many times, I did not like what I heard post round from him, Joe, because he was talking about how he thought he was in the best condition of his life this offseason, right before he cut open his hand on old Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whatever it was, and had to miss a couple weeks and work on that. But he was saying how he's starting to get his swing back, starting to get the feel back, and I'm getting real nervous about how good Scheffler's going to be going forward.
Would you consider him at 2-1 here, or is that just not enough?
It was the first price I looked at. Ah, man, I can't blame you if you go and bet it with him 2 shots off the lead. I'd probably give it to today, though. I usually don't get involved. We'll talk about some of the live outright prices. I did pick out a couple that I thought could work if you really wanted to make a bet today. I usually don't get involved in round matchups or even in tournament, just picking outrights till about the 3rd round. I usually want to see 2 rounds unfold, and especially with the weather being as crazy it was yesterday. Let's get a calm day in there first.
Scotty plus 210 on the live number. Rory 7-1. Denny McCarthy 12-1, your current leader. More golf, more college hoops. On the other side, it's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly, have you ever had your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet?
Yeah.
You ever need cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables, or, maybe just to tip one of the dancing dealers, but you hit your ATM limit?
Only about 932 times in my life.
Well, good news, man. EdgeBoost has your back. EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. With EdgeBoost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. That means no more headaches. For you high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day on your EdgeBoost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits, so you, Kelly, never wait for a wire to clear again. It gets better. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cashback rewards up to 0.5%. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. Folks, it's a bank account, not a credit card, so there's no approval required and no credit checks. Finally, EdgeBoost has a suite of responsible gaming tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. So what are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at Tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for EdgeBoost today. As the numbers game continues, he's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through your Friday, February 14th, as we get you ready for the weekend, folks. It is Valentine's Day. And Kelly and I were having a very important conversation as we were preparing for the show, talking about our favorite future bets and the college hoops board this weekend. And then, of course, the best chocolate that you can receive on Valentine's Day. Kelly, what do you think the best chocolate for a day like today is?
Anything milk chocolate, and if it involves peanut butter, okay?
Oh, that's if it involves what I'm going peanut with. Butter... Yeah. Whoever gives that to me is getting lucky.
See, this is... No you dispute. Started texting me about this yesterday. I do have the problem of... We did the... Matt Brown and I did the Halloween candy breakdowns and power rankings, and it was the... Well, when does something cross the line of candy to a seasonal candy, right? So, a lot of it we just talk about are good candies on Halloween. They really have nothing to do with Halloween, right?
Well, it's the difference between, say, Reese's or the Reese's Christmas tree, right? Or the Reese's Easter egg.
Sure.
Because those are significantly better than a normal Reese's cup. The peanut butter to chocolate ratio, way more peanut butter in those holiday specials.
I can't always remember the name of the fancy ones like you got in front of you.
What the Ferrero Rocher?
Yeah, Ferrero Rocher.
That our guy gave us? Yeah.
It sounds like one of Gil's tennis players he bets on every day.
That's a good one. Definitely. That could be someone either on the tour playing golf, playing tennis. Ferrero Rocher is
great. Those are good. Those are great.
These are awesome. The Lindt truffle chocolate balls.
Those are good.
Those are my favorite.
Yep.
Only balls allowed near my mouth on Valentine's.
Those are good. When I texted you, though, we were talking about this yesterday, just regular box of chocolates, man, they're like
so boring.
95% of them are disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I'm boring. I like milk chocolate. I don't really like dark chocolate. And
I'm a dark chocolate guy. I'm a little different from you in that respect.
But, like, don't surprise me with, like, some gross fruit filling in there or something like that, you know? Yeah,
gelatin that was definitely made in 2008 could survive, like, a nuclear holocaust. And give me that.
Like, I can maybe get on board with, like, raspberry, strawberry, but when it's, like, orange or something, like, I don't get those flavor combinations.
All right, hot take. Trader Joe's has, like, a chocolate orange thing. It's pretty good.
I'm easy.
Just get me any kind of chocolate covered nut from Trader Joe's and I'll be like the happiest guy in the world. And it's $5 instead of going out to, you know, your local supermarket and getting the heart shaped thing that's $20. It's so inflated.
The problem is
you
brought up Trader Joe's, so I can't like argue that because Trader Joe's is fantastic.
The best store ever. And it's named after me. Right, it doesn't get better than that.
It's named after you. I can't, the nuts I can't really do. And that's one that doesn't do a lot for me either. Yeah. It gave me separate my peanuts and chocolate, just like my fruit and chocolate. I'd rather eat a strawberry by itself than a strawberry covered in chocolate.
That's weird.
Is it?
I don't know any other way.
I think they're flavors that are very conflicting.
Give me a chocolate covered strawberry. Give me a chocolate covered almond. A chocolate covered nut. Any day of the week.
I just want my peanut butter covered in chocolate.
Yes, absolutely. Any chocolate peanut butter combination.
I want my ice cream covered in chocolate.
Yeah, that works. Absolutely.
I want all the unhealthy stuff covered in more unhealthy stuff. Okay.
I love it, Kelly. As we look at the Genesis, continuing piggybacking off what we were talking about at the last block there. Any other names that really caught your attention after round one? I know you said with the weather could have been a bit of an outlier round. You want to watch a little more, but you know, a guy like Morikawa, he was 16-1 going into the tournament. Now, after a mediocre first round, he's down at 20-1, still the fifth shot on the board.
Yeah.
Does that make him a little more intriguing?
Glad you brought him up. I was high on him coming into the tournament. I mean, look, he's only 5 shots off the lead. I think that's important to keep in mind. I think another thing important to keep in mind, though, is that there is a guy named Scotty Scheffler in between him in that lead. So I think the outright price makes it a little tough for me. I did write down, though, of stuff that I would maybe consider getting involved with today if I wasn't already involved. Morikawa top 10 live. Hey, you're getting like plus 120, plus 130 on that now. I think that's still a pretty good bet. What did I get before on him pre-tournament? That was plus 140. So you're at about same price here, but that was over at Circa. I think more places he was about even money. So you're getting a little bit better bang for your buck if you want to play a market like that. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially with how bunched up that top of the leaderboard is. I think a Morikawa top 10 bet would be interesting. One guy that I've really got my eye on this year for golf betting is Akshay Bhatia, and he is a guy that I did not come in to this tournament with any bets on, Joe, but he had an absolutely atrocious day putting yesterday. He's 3 over par for the tournament. Tee to green, though, gained almost 3 strokes on the field. He, tee to green wise, ranked 6th in the field yesterday. He's a very good putter. I have a feeling that the conditions threw him off a bit. Whenever we talk golf betting, period, the toughest stat to really figure out is putting. It is the highest variance one, Joe. Some guys can go out there and have great putting days, follow it up with a terrible putting day. And it's very rare to see. Akshay Bhatia is one of the guys that's a quality putter, like Denny McCarthy, quality putter that usually pretty consistently goes out there and fills it up with the putter. So I would expect him to bounce back after having such a bad day on the greens, improve there. And if the rest of the game's working, he's a guy to look out for. Again, not in the outright market, though. At 3 over par, 7 shots off the lead. I think if you want to look at a top 10, top 20 live, though, I think that could be a good bet.
Last thing I want to ask you about this, in terms of value, what do you perceive as better value? Scotty to win the whole thing right now at plus 210, obviously compared to the rest of the board, not a sexy number, but you know, anytime you're getting Scotty, it's you got to feel pretty confident about it. Or to be the top finishing American at plus 140. Which do you think is better value?
Man, that is a great question and a great find because I finally got you onto those markets.
Dude, I saw the word nationality pop out on DraftKings, and I was like, I want to see what those live markets
are.
Okay,
so you've got Seamus Power, Denny McCarthy, American. Then you got Seamus Power, 3 under par. And
Irish.
Then there's like, what did I just say?
No, Denny McCarthy, American. Seamus is Irish.
Oh, okay, okay. And then you've got, 7 Americans before you get down to Nico Echeverria and Minwoo Lee at 1 under par. Corey Connors at even par. That's an interesting question. I would probably, I mean, just looking of who's above Scotty Scheffler, it's not too many names to be scared of, which leads me to believe that I'd probably just go with the outright price.
Yeah, at a little longer than 2-1.
It's a great question, though, Joe, and these are the things with so many markets available to us, and it almost doesn't matter what sport we talk about now. So many markets out there. Mm-hmm. It is worth it to shop within the same shop. And we talk about shopping numbers. If you're looking at college basketball lines of the day, you're going to look across 3, 4, 5, 6 different books
always
to find the best odds. It's sometimes with golf, sometimes with even with college basketball, if you're looking at different futures, you can find the same sort of way to get to the same bet that you're looking for within the same shop. So what Joe just brought up, I highly recommend always consider these different markets.
And look, if there was a guy like Rory at the top of the leaderboard right now, maybe you'd want to go Scotty to be the top American.
Exactly.
But if you're not really too scared of Seamus Power, then you take Scotty at plus 210.
It's the perfect breakdown. Perfect
I love
breakdown.
It. Hey, you kind of segued into college hoops there.
Yep.
Fairly naturally. I want to get into two games quickly, and we'll circle back to them later, but there has been a little bit of line movement, so I want to give these out as close to the number I got them at as possible. Last night, we were updating the rundown. Northern Kentucky, -6.5 at Green Bay. This is now universally 7.5. I would still play it. I mean, this is an auto fade of Doug Gottlieb right here. Look at this Green Bay team. They're 0-14 straight up in Horizon League play. Now, these are actually the two worst covering teams in the Horizon League. Green Bay is 3-10-1. Northern Kentucky is actually 3-11. But Northern Kentucky is also 6-8 straight up. They're no stranger to winning games. They just haven't been covering when they've been favorites. Well, Wisconsin, Green Bay, I mean, they're not even competitive. Look at their last four, and they're 2-1-1 against the number. So they started conference play 1-9 against the spread. Now in their last four, they're 2-1-1. But what have their covers and their push consisted of? Both covers were on the hook when they were 15.5 point dogs. They lost by 15. The push was as a 14 point dog. So even though they've got two covers and a push in their last four, they lost those games all by 14 or 15 points.
Yeah, the old margin of victory is still big time minus.
The margin of victory is ugly, folks. So ugly it can't get a date on Valentine's Day. So Northern Kentucky laying 6.5. Now it's 7.5. I would take either of those numbers. The Norse are still a fairly respectable team, even though they're not covering much. They've actually covered two in a row, including an outright win over, or excuse me, two of three, including an outright win over Cleveland State, who's one of the top dogs in the Horizon League right now. I'm expecting another double-digit loss for Green Bay. Northern Kentucky already beat them by 18. Green Bay's scoring defense out of 364 Division I teams ranks 347. You can't do a national radio show and coach a team, Doug. Just can't be done. Up next, Joe DeLeon joins us. We're going to talk NFL draft odds and some off-season future markets right here on A Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through this Friday, February 14th edition of the big show as we get you folks ready for the weekend. And we'll start to get you ready for the NFL Draft as we welcome into the program via the Progressive Guest Line our friend, NFL Draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports, my guy Joe DeLeon. Joe, how you doing, man? There is no face I'd rather wake up to on Valentine's Day than yours. I just want to make that very clear from the start.
That's so sweet of you to say, Joe. I'm doing great. I tweeted out. I was very excited to get to talk to you today, and it wouldn't be a true Valentine's Day if we didn't get to share this very special moment. Kelly, it's nice to meet you, by the way.
Yeah, Joe, it's great to have you on the show, but I echo that same sentiment, okay? Who else would I rather spend Valentine's Day with than you two, okay? Come on.
I mean, a couple of good-looking Joes. It's a great way to start your morning, right? Joe, I want to start, you know, backtracking a little bit. It feels like the Super Bowl. You know, we spent 2 weeks, obviously. For those of you as part of the Numbers Game audience who don't know this, Joe is a regular on Cashing Out, comes on every week. So we spent 2 weeks previewing this game, leading up to it. You know, the 2 weeks felt like 2 years. And now, just 5-6 days later, it feels like the Super Bowl was already a year ago. It feels like old news. But being a draft expert and analyst and a college football expert yourself, Kansas City right now, the second shot on the board, 7-1 to win it next year. I mean, where do you see this Chiefs team going in the draft? Where do you see them improving as they're a little strapped for cash this offseason?
Well, one of my favorite early futures bets, and I know it's crazy early to be throwing one of these out there, I really like the idea of the Chiefs getting back there and winning it again. If there's been a team over the last 5 years that has done such a great job of identifying their weaknesses and improving, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. If we go back even further than that, what helped the Patriots during their dynasty? It was the fact that Bill Belichick, before he completely collapsed as a talent evaluator when he was making those general manager decisions, before that, they were great at finding talent late in drafts, on day two, on day three. I feel like that this Kansas City front office has been great at improving. The last time that they fell short and they didn't win a Super Bowl, they put together a tremendous draft class with Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis. There was just such an effort put towards rebuilding the roster, and those guys are key contributors right now. I think the most important thing for them, though, taking that next step, they need to address aggressively their offensive line, and they need to find better receiving options. And maybe also running back. This is that running back class that is extremely loaded for them to get guys on day two and on day three. But at the back end of the first round where they're sitting, they should really strongly consider drafting somebody, like a Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, who would be a fantastic player, Jonah Savanea, who would be great at guard from Arizona. And at receiver, this is not a great receiver class, which does not bode well for the Chiefs. But someone like a Matthew Golden from Texas, I think, is worth considering. Or a little bit later on, Jaden Higgins from Iowa State is somebody that I really, really like. If they don't address either of those positions in this draft effectively, then I'm taking away that stance that I think they can go back and win a Super Bowl this upcoming year. But I feel pretty confident that they're going to be strategic in approaching it.
Yeah, I don't know how many picks they have in this year's draft, but I'd probably use almost every single one of them on offensive
six
line.
Six total?
Okay, yeah. So at least five of them should probably go to the offensive line. I'm with you there, Joe. Just hitting the futures board real quick. Anything that jumped out to you? Because I was a little surprised with a couple of the openers. We're usually not. We get these odds the day after the Super Bowl every single year. Usually there's not any huge surprises to me, but that couple stood out and a couple have moved. Is there any that you gravitated to right away?
The one that caught my attention the most was the Bengals at 17-1. And part of me kind of wonders if that's going to end up moving up after this offseason. The first thing that they addressed was moving on from Lou Anarumo, who's a great defensive coordinator. But the guy that they hired from Notre Dame, Al Golden, was already a part of the staff at one point. That is a very underrated decision to go with somebody who at one point was a position coach, who has familiarity with the system. There is no learning curve. There is no chemistry building between him and the current whole coaching staff and some of the guys that were already on the roster. So I love Al Golden as a DC. I think he's a brilliant defensive mind. That is going to help them improve. And a lot of this too, last draft, they were aggressive at addressing their defense, but they had a lot of young dudes that were not really ready to contribute to the degree that they needed. The thing that held them back was their defense being a mess. It had nothing to do with Joe Burrow. He was so good that he was in the MVP conversation despite missing the playoffs. So if there's one team out there this upcoming NFL offseason and this NFL season that has just a really nice draft class and takes this huge leap forward, I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are worth considering.
Yeah, they've already moved down a tick from 18-1 to 17-1. I expect that to probably get a little shorter than 15-1 here in the not so distant future when it comes to the Bengals. All right, Joe, what about the champs? What about the Eagles? Howie Roseman has put on clinic after clinic when it comes to the draft, whether it's pretty much just going down to Georgia and swooping up their entire championship winning defense. I mean, you got Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dick. The Eagles are the Georgia Bulldogs. It's absolutely insane. What he did last year with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean was, I think, a bit of a surprise, doubling down on that position. And both of those guys had rookie of the year caliber campaigns. What do the Eagles do here?
Yeah, I think that for them in this upcoming draft, there's not really any major priorities that they need to go after, because you just mentioned there that this roster is not only loaded, but it also has depth. For me, it was like, and I did a mock draft a few weeks ago before the Super Bowl, it was kind of hard to pinpoint what makes sense in the first round. They're probably going to be a trade back candidate because there's nothing super urgent for them to go after. They can continue to accumulate draft in a draft class that has a lot of really good defensive prospects. But I feel like adding into the mix another receiver for them is important. We know that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are amazing, but you get a third option with Jahan Dotson, who didn't really do a whole lot after they traded for him. The one thing, though, that I have a little bit of pause with talking about them repeating, I feel like a lot of things had to go right for them in order for them to go on this run and then play as dominantly as they did in the Super Bowl. And the very specific thing I'm referring to is the health of Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is the best running back in football. He's one of the greatest running back prospects that we've ever seen. He is insanely talented. But the thing with him is we've seen inconsistencies with his availability. He'll have a great season, and then the next year he'll end up getting banged up. It's the reality that we live in with running backs. So I have a little bit of pause seeing how important he was for their success, for Jalen Hurts' success, for the offense just being so much better the way that they played this year. I'm a little bit off knowing that if Saquon gets banged up and he misses, starts to miss periods of time, or he's out for the playoff next year, that that is going to impact their chances of repeating.
Well, what I'll say to that, Joe, is first off, you're right. No Saquon, no Super Bowl, right? And people could say, oh, well, he only had 50 something yards. Yeah, he was their best player the entire, you know, path to getting there. And then in the Super Bowl, Kansas City's entire game plan revolved around taking him out of the game. And so then Jalen Hurts and the pass game were able to go and attack Kansas City's defense. But absolutely no Saquon, no Super Bowl. Where I'll disagree with you is think about why Saquon's been hurt so much. You and I are both Giants fans, man. The Giants haven't put out a competent offensive line in over a decade by now.
Well, my counter to your counter, though, that doesn't prevent him from getting hit, though. Just because he's able to go so much further down the field before getting hit at the line of scrimmage doesn't mean that he's going to not, you know, get contacted by a defender later on into a play. I vaguely remember when he tore his ACL against the Bears. It wasn't like a huge gain, and I'm trying to remember exactly what had happened. But he was trying to string out a play, and he was trying to create space for himself, and he just got driven way too hard into the ground that led to his foot planting awkwardly. So the running back position, you can get hurt doing anything. You can get hurt standing still. I'm being hyperbolic, but it's a position
I would hope.
Where you take enough hits throughout a season, wear and tear starts to factor in, and you could tear it in open field just trying to make a cut. And I'm not trying to pitch that Saquon's going to get hurt and that I want him to get hurt. But all I'm trying to say here is that it is such a hard position to bank on health. The best guys are the ones who have been the most healthy, and I'm sure that Saquon is going to have another great season.
Yo, final minute. Let's get to the draft here. Obviously, we'll be talking about the draft a lot in the coming months. Cam Ward, odds on to go number one to Tennessee, minus 120. Behind him, Abdul Carter, plus 225. Shador is 4-1. Travis Hunter a little longer than that, plus 425. And then Jackson Dart, 40-1. So really, you're dealing with four guys that are shorter than 5-1. Where do you see the Titans going? Potentially, could a move like an Aaron Rodgers mix up where quarterbacks go and mix up the top of the draft?
I think that it's open-ended on what they're going to do. They could either go quarterback, or they could end up approaching defense, taking Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. But for the betting angle specifically, I'm sticking with taking Cam Ward to be this first overall pick, because if they decide to trade out, anyone who moves up to draft a quarterback is going for Cam Ward. The more that I've evaluated him and Shador Sanders, the more that the general public has evaluated him and the NFL has dug in, there's a clear difference in the talent level. Shador Sanders is super high floor. He's super talented. He can be a great pro. But Cam Ward's got the big arm and can turn into a top 10 quarterback or even better in the NFL.
Yo, no one's more in tune with this stuff than you. You put me on to Cam Ward when he was back at Incarnate Word. I want to give you credit for that one. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. Send Christina my best. Appreciate you coming on. Follow him on Twitter at Joe DeLeon. More Numbers Game after the break.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, serious sports bettors. If you're thinking about playing in the 2025 Circa Million or Survivor contests, now is the time to get ahead of the game with Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN. Sign up today for exclusive offers, including a drawing for a free Circa contest entry with a proxy service. Plus, lock in special pricing on Winner's Circle Proxy service for 2025. And as a bonus, you'll get access to expert contest strategies from past winners and VSiN pros. Don't wait. Head to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. As the Numbers Game continues, Joe Serallo here alongside Kelly Bidlin, as we've been almost all week, 4 days running now, got all of next week together. It's been a blast. Kelly, in the Valentine's Day spirit, we're going to get to some bets here that we absolutely love. Mm-hmm. But first, you've got some fun tweets to read.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. We get tweets. Trip Tepper starting it this morning. I think this was before we even got on air, 2 minutes before we got on air. Having a Veasan heartthrob, Joe Cirillo, hosting A&G on Valentine's Day is elite producing. Yeah, no, sure. Goodness. Yeah, sure. That's who makes the calls, me. If Joe decided to moonlight as a country club tennis instructor, he could retire before he turns 40. Hat tip to Joe for being a good sport with the A&G community and all our jokes. I agree with that last
What's with all the moonlighting I'm doing? Last week, it was the country club bartender, and that wasn't even Tripp. That was a different person who said I'd moonlight as the country club bartender. Now it's a tennis pro. What about the pickleball pro? That's the job I want. Can I be the pickleball pro?
I think there's a lot of guys that read that one last or heard us talk about the country club bartender and laughed at it at first and then said, nah, that's actually a good point.
Yeah,
nope,
wouldn't leave my wife with him.
That's a good point. Jamie Leva tweeting in, Ferrero Rocher is now my new favorite tennis player. Have a great day, gentlemen. I agree. You got to watch out for Ferrero out there. Then Mile High David tweeting in, letting you know, Stray 150-1 out there for Clemson to win NCAA. That is the NCAA basketball championship. Yeah.
Wow, where's that at?
Yeah, no, I'm going to need a follow-up.
What was the number you gave me? 80-1?
80-1 at DraftKings, yeah.
Yeah, where's the one? Come on, tell us the book.
Shop around.
Don't gatekeep. Tell us the book. I love it. We want more tweets. We've got over an hour left here. I want to hear what you folks think my Valentine's Day plans are for tonight. I think that would be fun in hour number two. Give me your best shot, the funniest Valentine's Day plans that you think I've got tonight, and we'll read those out in the next hour of the program. But Kelly, we've got to get to our real true love, our real first love, sports betting. What futures are out there that you absolutely love?
Oh boy, let's start it up. The crew said they were going to surprise me with music. I like it. This is nice, guys. This is nice.
Soothing. I imagine holding your hand at a candlelit dinner. This is what would be playing in the background.
That's right. Yes.
We order escargot.
Wait,
it's the first time you've ever tried it. Yes, 100%.
Are you saying that's a theoretical?
No, I mean, I told my friends I was going out with someone named Kelly. I just didn't specify the gender.
Well done. All right, I got one for you. The futures bet I love right now here on Valentine's Day. It's still Thunder plus money to win the Western Conference. That's it. I bet it at plus 120 after the Luka Doncic trade. I think it's silly that this is still plus money. We talked a little bit about this the other day. Look, there are the difference between the East and the West. There are multiple teams at the top of the top tier in the Eastern Conference, and then a lot of garbage teams. Yes, there could be. Yeah, maybe any of three to maybe even four or five teams that the East could it could turn into a battle. Out West, this is, I think, a little bit of a misconception all season, Joe. There are a lot of good teams out West. There are. Everybody likes to say it's the much tougher conference and much tougher conference to figure out because of that. The problem is that the Oklahoma City Thunder are in a tier all by themselves at the very top. This is, over the past month and a half, the top, best team, an offensive rating and defensive rating in the NBA. The redundancy they have at so many positions. We saw Chet Holmgren go down earlier in the year, and Isaiah Hartenstein get healthy and get back in the lineup. They didn't miss a beat down low. Yes, rebounding's still an issue. I like when I hear that, except we've barely seen this team with both of those guys out there. That could be solved very easily here over the next few months. SGA, he's going to win MVP. He's the odds-on leader right now. Okay, Jokic has a chance. I'm not going to completely rule him out. But right now, SGA is my MVP, at least. He's the leading scorer in the NBA. He's going out there and dropping 32, almost 30-plus on a nightly basis. As long as he's able to stay healthy, Joe, he's really the only guy you got to worry about. Most teams can't say that. Most teams, there are injury concerns everywhere. Otherwise, we wouldn't be recommending make this bet right now because it is still early in the NBA season to make a bet like this. But I'm not overly worried about injury concerns when it comes to Oklahoma City because if some of these other guys that they have on their team that have to deal with a minor injury or two, they can easily fill them with guys off the bench who are quality bench players. OKC, I think there's a lot that reminds you of what the Boston Celtics were last season is what you're seeing at the Oklahoma City Thunder. I love them to win the Western Conference, and you're still getting plus money on it, which blows my mind. OKC, anything at plus money to win the Western Conference.
Kelly, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed. That's like we've been together for 5 years, and you take me out to dinner, and I'm expecting a proposal and a ring, and I get earrings from a kiosk at a mall.
Okay.
A plus 105 bet. Like, we're supposed to give out a future we love, and you're giving me something that's like even money.
Yeah, I'm gonna give I'm gonna give you something that's real.
Splurge a little bit. Give me a 5-to-1.
I'm gonna give you something that's realistic of hitting and happening.
I'm gonna give you something that's damn near 5-to-1 that is realistic. And I'm gonna give you a bet that I love more than I will ever love a future partner of mine. A bet that I probably love more than I'll ever love my future children, and a bet that I definitely love more than I will ever love my future children's children. Give me the Boston Red Sox to win the American League East at longer than 4-to-1. You can get this at some shops plus 450. Right now, including right here behind me at Circa. They've made all the moves. They've spent the money. They've brought in Walker Buehler. They've traded for Garrett Crochet. They've fortified their bullpen. And now Alex Bregman is the cherry on top. Raffy Devers, Alex Bregman. I don't care who plays third, who's on second, who's DHing. This Red Sox lineup, pound for pound, is one that'll compete with the Yankees. I think, frankly, it's better than the Yankees. I think they're starting pitching. Do they have Garrett Cole at the top? No, but I believe it's deeper than the New York Yankees. And for that reason, I like an even juicier, realistic bet. At 9-to-1, give me an exacta of the Boston Red Sox to finish first in the American League East and the New York Yankees to finish second. We're turning the clock back 20 years. This rivalry is all the way back.
It's on. I like it. I like that one. That's the, I don't know if you caught it, the Bregman. We didn't bring this up yesterday, but I thought one of the most, the fascinating, so many different ways to bet now, right? I thought one of the greatest betting movements I saw was the Bregman doubles.
Doubles market.
Yeah, yeah, the doubles market.
So it was 120-to-1 and before he signed, and now it's 25-to-1. I mean, he's going to pepper that green monster.
I saw as high as 130-to-1 and as short as 17-to-1.
Yeah, that is absurd.
I mean, people that were smart enough to jump on that one right away, hat tip to you, because that is, it makes a lot of sense, right? Makes
and if you think about it, the field is, I mean, there's nothing like Fenway Park, and there's nothing like the Green Monster. Where he was in Houston, probably the most comparable left field to it. And Bregman peppered that, you know, mini monster, if you will, a lot when he was an Astro. And now he's got the Green Monster there. And, you know, this is not a 30 home run guy. This is not a guy that I'm expecting to, to be rounding the bases a whole lot there. But, man, you play that monster to your advantage, and Bregman could be a 40-50 doubles guy.
Man, I'm telling you, if I was a big-time just right-handed pull hitter in Major League Baseball, like, home runs are awesome. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing going to be better than just hitting a lot of home runs. I would be perfectly fine with just clanking double after double off that wall all day. Be like, hey, as long as you guys start, don't change these ballparks and don't make a uniform ballpark across all Major League Baseball, I'm going to keep taking advantage of this every single time.
Yeah, where is that doubles market, by the way? That's not at every book, I don't think. Here it is. It's under hits.
Yeah, I was saying, maybe not every book, but most of them should have.
So at DraftKings, because I just wanted to see where this movement's gone, he's down to 18-to-1. He's currently the third shot. Actually, his teammate, Jarren Duran, is 7-to-1, which makes sense because Duran's got legs. I mean, he's one of the fastest guys in the league. So the
a short shot. Wow.
Yeah, okay. He's the short shot at 7-to-1, followed by Ezekiel Tovar in Colorado, which makes sense. And then Bobby Witt, who's a stud. Jose Ramirez, they're both 13-to-1. And then Harper at 18-to-1, I don't like just because can he stay healthy for me. But Duran makes a lot of sense. Bregman, I mean, he's not as fleet of foot as Duran. Duran's a stolen base machine. He's fast as hell. The Green Monster, the one caveat to that is sometimes if you hit the ball too hard, if you're not the fastest guy, those become long singles. Those become, 300-foot singles.
Yeah, that's a good call. That is a good call. That is very true.
I had one of those when I was playing Little League. For those of you that don't know this, you know, I know we get tweets calling me VEASAN's heartthrob and whatnot. I was a plus-size Little Leaguer.
Oh!
And I once hit
Chevy
one.
Joe.
I once hit one to the gap. I hit the fence, and I'm rounding first, and it ricochets right to the right fielder, and it turns into a long single. And I turn to my coach, and I go, I don't know, if that one was just like 10 feet to the left and right center, I think that could have been a triple. And he goes, Joe, for you, a home run is a long single.
That's very good. I like it.
We'll have to get the old Little League picture up maybe in the next hour.
Yeah,
show the people the Valentine's Day heartthrob, what he looked like at 12 years old. Love it. In the next hour, going to talk a little soccer. We did Champions League with our friend Paul Carr earlier in the week. Going to switch it to some Premier League action that you don't want to miss. It's a numbers game, special Valentine's Day edition. Having some fun with it. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Serrallo. You're locked into VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.